Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, y'all know we're on a lesson two of a 10-part series. But if you remember, for those who are here, I told you this is my journey that I'm taking. I'm trying to walk down this path to have God lead me where He wants me to go. And I've already done next Sunday's lesson. It's on faith. And I'm telling you right now, I've only three lessons in, and this has been an incredible journey. But what I need to tell you, how many of y'all ever been on vacation and took pictures and brought them back? And matter of fact, I was showing some pictures to Jerry this morning about a trip I'd just taken. And I brought it back and telling everybody your story about your trip that you took, how exciting it was to you. But when I showed Jerry, all I showed Jerry was a picture, a snapshot of what actually occurred. And that's what I'm doing with these lessons. The journey that I'm taking, I'm only able to show you a snapshot of what I'm learning. So what I want to do this morning is encourage you to take this journey on your own. Because I'm telling you, as you dive into God's Word, as you walk down this journey, as it's becoming a better walk with Christ, that you're going to see some things and experience some things that you never faced before, if you're willing to let Him guide you. As I develop these lessons, I'm only developed the second one. I haven't developed the other ones yet. I haven't made them yet. Because my hope and my outlook is on this, that God will lead me in the direction I need to go with these lessons. So as I go to the next one, I figured, first of all, you got to surrender to God. And that was our first lesson about surrendering to God. The second lesson that we want to talk about this morning is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want us to talk about that, because that to me is an order. Once I surrender, now I need to start filling it. And next week we're going to talk about faith, having faith. And wait, I got some pictures for you next week to show you. An experience that I had that I'm excited to share with you next week. I'm excited about all these lessons because I'm telling you, as I've gone through these lessons, things have hit me in ways that have never hit me before. And so I encourage you not only to share my journey, but have the same journey for yourself. Start focusing and studying these things that we're talking about in your everyday life. So this morning's lesson, to be filled with the Spirit. You know, when we talk about the Spirit, that's the kind of area that we tap around or touch sometimes, because we don't really focus and talk heavily about what the Spirit is and what He does and stuff like that. I think in the past in the Church of Christ, because I grew up in the Church of Christ, when you were telling somebody who was filled with the Holy Spirit, they got something in their minds about somebody in church speaking in tongues and stuff like that. But I think we've been missing the opportunity and missing the true focus. And that's what I want us to talk about. What does it truly mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's important. It's all over Scriptures. We need to focus on it. Let's go to what was read earlier. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to the Spirit. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. First of all, we got to understand the Holy Spirit. We have a spiritual being in us that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you're filling it with something else. We look at our physical bodies and think, hey, this is only temporary. The ground that we are on is only temporary. The things that we build on this earth, or wealth that we collect, it's all temporary. It's all going to vanish one day. But the Holy Spirit will live on in a good place or in a bad place. So we really need to focus on this part of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual dwelling. We talk about spiritual warfare. We talk about all that stuff. And we need to realize what we truly need to focus on. You know, this body's temporary, but as it's here now, it was bought for a price. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, I saw a thing on the news the other day where this lady bought this house. She went to move in and somebody was already in it. It was a vacant house and she went to buy it and it was already in it. And she couldn't move in because there was somebody in it. And the laws is if that person dwelling in it, you got to go through the courts, you got to get them evicted, and you got to go through this whole process. Well, we ain't no different. When the Holy Spirit comes to us and tries, He tries to move in. But if we're vacating it, if we're occupying it, He can't move in. And then at times as Christians, we go through this cycle here. See if this sounds familiar to you. You go through the cycle where you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're a strong Christian, and then somebody makes you mad. And then you get that anger built up in you. Who's in there now? It ain't the Holy Spirit. So what happens with the Holy Spirit is that when you take over the house again, He has to move out because that's the way He works. You destroy His house, the temple of God, and then when He comes back in, He has to rebuild it all over again. So that's the cycle that we face through Christians. So this has got to be important, how we take care of this, how we focus on the Holy Spirit. So what's it look like? How do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? How do we look? How do we act? How do we handle things? What's it like when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Ephesians talks about this. And let's look at what Ephesians chapter 5, you can move over there, because we'll be reading through some of the verses throughout Ephesians. But how does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's funny how it starts off. It says, be very careful. If you haven't been on Sunday morning's classes, you need to be. Because we're talking about these very same things. God's warning us, and we're warned in Proverbs, some of the things it constantly tells us, be very careful how you live. Not as the unwise, but as the wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. We got to realize something, brothers and sisters. You see how this world is acting out there. They're angry over everything. They want you to be angry over everything. They want you to be wise like they are. They're not very wise, brothers and sisters. The way they think are not the way that God thinks. So He tells us, be very careful how you live and not as the unwise. Talking about the world out there. But as the wise, making the most of every opportunity. What does that mean? Show people the difference. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're different. You're not you anymore. You're more doing godly things than worldly things. So as you have those opportunities to show the world what it's truly like, don't miss those opportunities. Somebody's having a bad day, show them how to make it different. Somebody's struggling some way, be there for them. As we go through 17 and 18, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You want to know how to get filled with the Holy Spirit? Focus on His Word. Do not be drunken in wine. You know, what happens when you're drunk? I've seen the consequences. You've seen the consequences where people have drank and drove. They don't know what's going on around them. They don't know the consequences that they bring on. They're not of their own mind. They have an accident, and most times drunks come out not a scratch on them, but somebody else comes out maimed or even worse, dying from that accident. But being drunken is not the only thing that does that. Imagine when you're angry. What anger does to you. And you lose control. You don't have control of your body and your actions. And that's what it's saying here. Think about what you're doing. Do God's will, not your will. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, it treats you differently. You act differently. Ephesians 5:19-20 tells us this. Continue on. Speak to everyone. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to the Lord the Father for everything in His name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How angry or how upset or how hard is it to be angry when you're singing songs, especially spiritual songs? I was thinking about it as we were just singing here. I can't get angry when I'm out here singing with y'all. I can't think of anything but good. I can't do but anything but thank God for what He's given me, my life. That says, so when I have that attitude, singing to one another spiritual psalms and hymns, and make a melody, or you're upset. You know, party-wise, you know, we've got an election going on. You got the Republicans and the Democrats, and both of them are mad at each other. And they're angry for one reason or another. That's the way the world was. They want to get upset over every issue. Bring us in there and say, don't matter. As long as we do God's will, that's what counts. As long as we take care of one another, that's what counts. But the world wants to be mad and angry and upset over everything there is. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you can't be angry. Because you understand, which we're going to talk about more next week, you truly understand what you have when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit one to another out of the reverence for Christ. Submit one to another. Who does it say? Who does it limit? We submit one to another here. We submit one to another out there. When they see that we are serving one another and serving those out there in reverence to Christ, we can't do that upset or angry or having hard feelings to one another. It's impossible. When you are serving somebody, you have to do it with a joyful heart because it's no longer serving. Believe me, I've seen people who are supposed to be serving and are angry that they're there. They're not serving me. I can tell they don't want to do it. And that's one thing that we can realize. You can see the Holy Spirit in us, which we'll talk about here in a moment. So what does it truly look like? As I was studying this lesson and going on, and this verse hit me, verse 21, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. The Holy Spirit makes me serve. What's that look like? And then I realize what Jesus did. What Christ did. You imagine Christ knowing that He's getting ready to die on the cross, having that last supper with His disciples. And what does He do? What last impression that He wants to leave with them that's going to stick with them for eternity? Was to serve. He washed their feet. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. It wasn't just the act of washing, even though that was a great act. That was great honor back then. To wash the most dirtiest part of the whole body was the feet. I can't imagine what it smelled like. I can't imagine what it looked like. Because they wore sandals and they were on the road constantly. But He didn't care. It's not just the washing of the feet, but the act. The willingness. The wanting to. I want to serve my disciples. And then that's nothing but the Holy Spirit coming out. That's what the Holy Spirit looks like. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can't hide it. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, everybody knows. Think about it. You see somebody who brings a positive attitude to you and tries to show you true love. Can they hide it? But you can also see when the Holy Spirit's not in you. When you're angry, you don't want to be a part of this world, don't want to be where you're at. People can tell. So you think you might be hiding something, but you can't hide the Holy Spirit. The spiritual body cannot be hidden, whichever state that it's in. And you need to understand that. To be filled is so important. He says here, I have set you the example that you should do as I have done for you. Remember, he knew that he was going to have to give his life for them. He knew that he was going to have to give his life for you, even way back then. He knew that you were going to be born this one day, that you're going to be in this church building today, and that he was going to have a church building today. He bought you at a price. He did it willingly. Another act of service. He led from one service to another act of service. He did it without hesitation. And that's what we need to realize and understand. Because I think if we understand what the Holy Spirit is truly about, it changes us. Look what he says in John chapter 13, 16 and 17. Truly, truly, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is master greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you. Do them. Let's read on in Luke chapter 22. Who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who is served? It is not the one who is at the table, but I'm among you as one who serves. The greatest out of all of us are those who are willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to serve. And our life should reflect that each and every day. If we are not reflecting that, that's something we need to focus on, is how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit. So, we know what it looks like because we look back at Jesus' example of serving and what's the Holy Spirit. How do we get filled? How do we make that happen? Well, it takes exercise. It takes good eating. Just like anything else, you want to have a good, healthy body, you're going to take some healthy diet and good exercise. So let's look at scriptures and see what it takes to stay spiritually healthy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentle, self-control. And again, such things are not in the law. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I look at this and I see it's full of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Where's anger? Where's out of control? Where's self in all this? It's not in there. Because that's you. That's me. We don't want to be us anymore. We want to be of the Holy Spirit. So we got to take ourselves out of it. We can no longer be angry. We can no longer be about self and out of control. We want to be different. If not, we're no more than anybody out there. We can just blend in the crowd. We can walk in New York and be just like anybody else. Nobody will be able to tell us the difference. But that's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. People should be able to see God in us. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, which is the passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's go back to that for just one second. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. We are no longer. It is of the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How do we do that? We just read the things that we need to do to be filled with the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind." That's what the Spirit looks like in us. When we focus on doing, following the steps of the Spirit, we are walking in the steps of the Spirit. There's our exercise. The fruits are our stuff that we eat of good health. And it gives us the power. We ain't got to fear of nothing because we have an understanding of what's coming. We have an understanding that everything, even our body, even this world that we stand on, and the ground that we stand on, is all temporary. We are focused on the internal life, the spiritual realm, our spiritual body that lasts forever. I know Chris Pond can tell you, and I've seen it many a time too, we know what it looks like, a body without the Spirit. A body without the Spirit, and y'all have too. How many funerals have you gone to and look at the casket and heard people say, "That don't look like him"? Because that's not him. Because once the Spirit leaves this body is done. So we need to focus on the spiritual body, not the physical body. Not desires of this world. Because all of that is going to be temporary. I know when I walk up to a code if they're going to make it or not, to be honest with you. Am I not right? Because you can see it in the body that the spirits have left. That's what we need to focus on, is on the spiritual side. Romans 8, verses 14 tells us this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Most important of all, you need to realize and understand that unless you have the Spirit in you, you are not among God's children. You are not one of His. The only way that we're going to have eternal life with Him is to have the Spirit in us, His Spirit in us. So that's how vital important it is. That's like us looking at the monitor and watching the heartbeat. That's the heartbeat of us, is the Holy Spirit in our Christian life. Once we surrender ourselves, we've got to turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit because that's our heartbeat. If our heart is not healthy, we're not healthy. If our spirit in us is not healthy, we're not healthy as Christians. It's the key for us for Christian living. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. That's how we know. That's how other people know that God's in us. By the way we live, by the way we act, by the way we present ourselves, not here, because we all know each other, out there. And this world needs it today. If you look more and more where this world's going to, is all of Revelation's coming true. Things are bad, they're going to get worse, but the victory's won. And that's what we know, and that's what we need to share, is the victory has been won. That we don't have to worry about this world because we know this is a temporary. We know that this world is not going to last forever. The day I was born, I've already started deteriorating because this is just a physical body. The day this earth was created, it's been deteriorating ever since because it's a temporary place. If people could understand that, they could realize, hey, that we got to look for something greater. And it's our job to pass that on. Why do I say that? I've used this same verse. I used it last time when we talked about surrendering ourselves to the Lord. And hope does not put us to shame. You know, our hope in the eternal life does not put us to shame. Because we know Because the love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, we know what's coming. We're excited about that day. Most people out there are not. You ever seen those people in New York that hold up the signs, the world is coming to an end? I walk by them and say, yes! I look forward to that. Most people are going all scared and worried. Us, we're going, yes! That day's coming. We have so much to look forward to. We have an understanding. It doesn't put us to shame about our hope. Because we understand. People need to see that. They need to see us get excited because the world's coming to an end. Because we know. I like this verse in Ephesians 1, chapter 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. He stamped us as soon as we became Christians, saying, you belong to me. You know, I talked about the Holy Spirit and I told you about I'm going down this journey. And I look back at my Christian life. I grew up in the church. And I see the good days. And I see the bad days. And I realize as I study this lesson that the Holy Spirit had to do a lot of remodeling in my body. My life. There's many times I've taken over and He's had to come and redo it. Over and over and over. You know why He keeps redoing it? Because there's a seal of promise on me. As long as I keep striving to do the right thing, He's going to keep rebuilding me. And that's the promise He marked on each and every one of you, because you're here. You need that encouragement to know that, yes, it's hard and it's difficult, and we're going to have our good days and we're going to have our bad days. But Christ has not given up on us. The Holy Spirit's not giving up on us. He's coming each and every time and rebuilding us as we need to be rebuilt. But let's not just say, hey, all right, He's going to rebuild it next time. Let's try to do better. Let's try to make it next time He ain't got to do as much work. Let's strive to take care of our house. Now help Him, because the blessings that we receive is incredible. You know, the only way we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit is make room for it. The only way we're going to have room for the Holy Spirit is we make room for Him. We got to get out of our way. There's a song that we sing every once in a while, and it so relates to this lesson this morning. And it reads as this. And once I start reading it, y'all know what song I'm talking about. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Touch my eyes that I might see. All your goodness, grace, and power, stand beside me every hour. Be my drink, be my living bread. Keep me sheltered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Let my heart be one with Thee. When I worry, smooth my mind. Let me sweet contentment find. May I run this wicked race, filled by Your amazing grace. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Holy Spirit, rescue me. Set my soul completely free. Beside Jordan, make my bed. In God's bosom, lay my head. Let me live in a brand new place. See my blessed Savior face. Holy Spirit, rescue me. That's the attitude we need to have. We need the Holy Spirit to take control of every aspect of our life. Everything that we do. Brothers and sisters, I know it's hard. I'm going down this journey and I'm bringing you along to see little pictures as I go along about what I'm learning. What I'm trying to learn, because I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. You know, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm trying to do. But I don't know where you're at. I don't know what struggles you have, but I know that He built this church for a purpose. This church. I'm not talking about general. I'm talking about Edge Hill Church of Christ. He built this church for a purpose. And we're all in it. And we're all in this together. We're all here to help one another, to encourage one another, to be with one another. And I'm telling you, we have awesome elders in this church. He put them there for a purpose and a reason to guide us. That's why I like the way we do things. And Wesley, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring up something old that we used to do a while back. Jerry will be up front here, but Wesley, if you don't mind going to the back, if somebody has a personal, private prayer that they need to discuss, that they have an elder right there to pray for them. Because, you know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and we have some righteous elders in this church. And they can avail so many of your struggles and problems. I'm just glad you are coming down with me with this journey because it's a great encouragement. But I want to be here for you, and I know the elders want to be here for you. So if there's anything that they can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.